way.
There is problem, and that problem is transport.
We're not on yet, are we?
It take very, very long.
We're on, did you say?
Because Kazakhstan is big.
Yeah, but it's unofficial.
As long as it's unofficial.
So transport down the well.
Come on. Everything's unofficial on this, baby.
So my country can be free. We must make travel easy.
I don't know what this is we're listening to, but... it's very soothing. Is this Borat?
And that problem is the Jew. They take everybody money. They never give it back. Throw the Jew down the well.
My country can be free.
Which one was that from? The latest? The last movie?
Why can't I hear Shiznit? Welcome.
It's an outtake from Borat.
No.
How
it
dare
is not.
You? It's
it
an
is,
outtake from
it
Borat.
Is
you're going to say
skit.
It's from Ali G and you're wrong.
True.
No, it was actually at the in the same city as where the horse riding competition took place.
By the way,
could
whatever.
Be true.
It's a new tradition we've begun here on the After Disaster. We open every show with something anti-Semitic.
What you just did is the true sign of when someone's genuinely angry because they don't look at you. They just look down like they're black. Like they're just...
Well, who are you talking
like
about?
Like when you're talking... You're wrong. And you're not looking at him. You're looking down like...
It's a character. It's a character I'm playing. Welcome to Friday, everybody. Happy Friday to y'all. This is the After Disaster. A lot to discuss tonight. I have anger flowing through my blood. Mike has frustration and misunderstanding flowing through his blood. When I say Mike, I mean Mike Carano. And Mike Catherwood has love in his heart.
Why do I have that?
I don't know. We'll discuss it in a bit. But case in point of the love in the heart, let's talk Mike Catherwood.
Okay.
Now, Mike, as you may or may not know, is a co-host of a successful nationally syndicated radio program I like to call Loveline. This is, in fact, Hate Squiggle.
I love the idea that our listeners are going, never heard of him.
It's the pre-show to this show, so a lot of you have heard of it. 1-800-LOUD-191, lines are open. I am very angry. It concerns Tyler. We'll get more on that in a bit. But in the meantime, I wanted to start the show off lovely and talk about Mike Catherwood doing the nuptials this
yes, congratulations.
This
thanks,
what,
man.
What are you, like 72 hours away?
It's Sunday morning, 68? Yeah, whatever the math is.
Ooh.
How did you propose?
I did it to her on set. She's an actress. She's on a show called Rules of Engagement on CBS. Mm-hmm. And she was on set, and I went back to her dressing room and waited for her to get done with her scenes. And when she got to the dressing room, I said, come here, I need to talk to you. And we sat on the couch in her dressing room, and I did it right there.
Wow. Was it a spur of the moment?
No.
But I mean, it wasn't...
In her eyes, it was. But for me, I'd been thinking about it for a while. I'd bought the ring probably... 10 days before I gave it to her.
Nice.
So, I mean, I had 10 days. I mean, there was obviously a lot of forethought into that. But
speaking of forethought,
I really caught her by surprise, and it was great because, you know, she was so overwhelmed and she was so happy. And, I mean, she said yes, obviously. But she went out to set.
You just
she
haven't got the answer. You ran out the door so thrilled.
Well, on the...
in your car and
on the show, she is engaged to be married, hence the name Rules of Engagement. It actually revolves around her and Oliver Hudson's character. Adam being married and preparing for being married. So she wears a wedding ring on an engagement ring on the show. And she went out to do her scenes with her new engagement ring, which were from her real life. And it took people, other co-stars, David Spade and Patrick Warburton, a couple of other people, Megan Price, to like a little bit of time to recognize it. And once they did, they all started screaming and they actually broke scene. So it was pretty cool for me.
Spade just recognized it because he's always looking at chicks' ring fingers.
Yeah. He's actually a tremendously nice guy.
Yeah.
He's effed in the head, but like really, he's always been so nice and supportive to Bianca and so nice to me. But you're right. No one loves vagina more.
Mm-mm.
Big fan of that vagina, David Spade.
Hey, so we were talking about marriage today.
Yes.
Just like what's changed in Anderson's life, and it sort of came to some kind of a conclusion.
What is that, Michael?
I had a point in a relationship one time where we would break up, and then I'd move out, and it just kept going on, like every other, you know, every 6 or 7 months. And one time we broke up, and she said, "This is not an option anymore. We are not breaking up. We have to work this through."
Okay.
And it was such a relief and such a feeling of comfort to me. So I kind of assume that's what marriage sort of is.
You have that unspoken agreement. That's kind of what marriage is.
Where, like,
yeah,
right now you could just walk away if you felt like if some – and you really wouldn't. Your heart would be broken and so would hers. But you still could go like, "I've had it. See
right.
ya." But then when you make the sort of – is that what it is to you?
In a way.
What about to a woman? Do you think it's the same thing?
I think it's so different for men and women, really, the desire to get married. Well, I think for a woman, it's a lot more about finding someone else to develop stability. You know, like stability in life comes with finding this partner and together as a, and for men, I think it's much more about feeling loved. You know, like adding the idea of being married just as added, you know, like you feel like someone appreciates you.
That's funny you would say that because I would have thought it was almost the opposite. Like for a woman, it's like acknowledgement. And I don't mean that she's necessarily that shallow where she's just going out and bragging to her friends, "Look, someone wants me." But I do think there's a little piece of it. Maybe it's just for young, really young girls. It's like proving.
Right.
Like,
is this
look,
Oprah for fucking men? What's going on?
No, but I think
I
this
walk
is
out
interesting.
For a couple I minutes, think... I come back in and no.
Because
no.
You know how as a young person you have these arguments like marriage is BS, guys are meant to
yeah, it's because we
have sex
testosterone
with all these girls
flowing
and
through our cocks.
Point? Yeah, and then you go, well, "What's
does this flow through your cock?"
Mine.
That's how it
it's
works.
All, my
that's
toilet works. Has huge arms.
Your Toyota has huge arms.
My toilet, because my testosterone flows from my cock into the toilet.
Just yoked out toilet.
Did my nuptials have anything to do with the timing of yours? Do you think? Do you think you guys went there and kind of like, you know, at the Madonna Inn?
I already bought the ring.
You said 10 days before you went to her, and that was definitely after my wedding.
No.
Jillian and I talked about it, and I think that it might kind of push him over the edge.
No.
Pretty sure it did.
I will tell you you're wrong.
I'm taking credit for the date.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I got a check.
Taking credit.
I got a check from a production company called Fremantle for doing a spec show for them. Mm-hmm. It was actually a really rather interesting game show. Uh-huh. And they paid me in this check, and I took said check, and instead of the day they said it came in the mail, mm-hmm. instead of depositing it, I cashed it.
You
and
thought,
went to
you looked at the check, and you thought, after Anderson's wedding, it made me really want to buy a ring.
Yeah, okay.
With this check.
I was not at all contemplating getting married until I went to your wedding, and now
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, he didn't even like women up until that point.
I wasn't a fan.
I was using Bianca as a beard, and then you turned it all around.
Did you spend the whole check on the ring?
Testosterone.
No, I got to save $500 from that check.
Nice.
And I got full release massages.
Everybody over to theafterdisaster.com, I like to point out that our webmaster,
yes,
Scott by Scott, very great guy. Love him. He's my second favorite webmaster in the world.
His competition's here tonight.
His competition is here tonight. Damien, my webmaster, is here tonight. AndersonCowan.com. But he's Scott by Scott has changed the logo for whatever reason at the top, our picture, to make us look like we're all Jedi masters. And he obviously put my head and everyone's head on other people's bodies, and that's not my hairy chest. I just want all the ladies to know that my hairy chest is not hairy like that, all right? I look
you
like some kind of Guido.
Chest?
No, I do not have
you don't have any?
A little bit, a little bit. I plucked it with
because I have none.
I plucked
no,
it with
I'm
my
totally
forefinger and my thumb until I was about 19 because they started sprouting at like 17 and I was very upset.
I have zero.
Because I
looked
like Marky
sproutage.
Mark. It was awesome. Yeah. I looked like you. Yeah, well, once they start sprouting, you got to start picking them out.
No, cool. I think it's cool to have a little.
Bianca will leave you. She will leave you immediately.
Oh, no, she's a fucking hairy monster.
Really? Yeah. Bianca's hairy?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, she tends to it, but if she were to like let
she
it go
naturally.
She
tends to it.
If she were to let it go.
Chicks are pretty hairy.
If she were to let it go all natural, she'd be like Demi Moore's Bush.
You seen that porn star that has the mower girl on her vagina, on her shaved vagina, and she's got like a tattoo of a lawnmower,
like with
I like
a push
that,
one.
Though.
Yeah, like a girl is walking
good for
across.
Her.
I think it's a girl. Might be a guy.
I like that.
Might be a Mexican. I think it might be. Yeah, it was a racist chick.
Did somebody order sure. Mexican?
Yeah. I'd like to see some sort of chart on when she thought it was a great idea till when she hated it. Like how many?
I don't think
passed.
If you get loads to the face for a living, you have started hating it.
You better have a sense of humor, right?
Like, she's cool.
You guys want to hear a quick little
She's
story?
She's uptight and she does that anyway. Yeah.
Third hand story. Actually, something came up on the pre-show tonight that made me think of it.
Yeah. If we're going to do third hand stories, I've got some shockingly amazing fifth hand stories.
Might actually be a fourth
third
hand
eye
story.
Blind.
My mom told it to me last night, and she heard it at work from one of her crazy nurse friends. She's a nurse.
I got a third arm story.
She's got a friend who's from Persia, which is a country that no longer exists.
That's right, bro.
And if Ali is listening in Egypt, and he can call in, and he
Persia exists,
know.
It's just Iran.
I mean, right. It's that'd be like calling where we live right now, Mexico.
Yeah.
Because it used
no,
to
be Mexico.
It'd be more like calling Slovakia Yugoslavia or something.
Yeah.
Persia
yeah.
sounds so much more glamorous than Iran.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because no one – I've never – and I know quite a bit here in Southern California for those of you listening. You know – you all know a good amount of Persian people. There's a good population.
No, I know Iranians.
No one – said no Persians. One, but no one would ever say I'm Iranian. Everyone's yeah. Oh, I'm Persian.
Yeah.
You know, about, like that's the way they
– it's a way of kind of ducking your culture, I think.
No, I think it's a tip of the cap to the great Persian Empire.
Well, that it's
in
over.
In my opinion, right?
It's over though. The Persian Empire is over. We're getting there.
Yeah, that is
true.
Can you imagine like an Italian guy be like, oh, I'm Roman?
Yeah, exactly. it's the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And if, you know, Italy was bordered by countries that absolutely had problems because of all the things that are going on in the Middle East.
This is going to be moronic. Then how come people who live in Mexico speak Spanish?
What? Because the Spaniards.
Well, language is not all our right. conversation right
I gotta
now.
I got to go change the switcher.
I'm going to leave. You guys have a great show.
Are you taking a honeymoon?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Gay Paris.
Really?
Yeah, going to wow. Paris.
Have
Very
been,
excited about
have
that.
Have you been back since you were sobered up?
I have been to Europe. I've not been to Paris since I sobered up.
What are you looking forward to?
Experiencing it.
Yeah, with her, you know? Right?
I experienced the shit out of Paris in my life, but it was all bars and nightclubs. You know, like I'd wake up in a haze and I'd take a walk through the Louvre, you know, but I'm going to experience the culture of Paris for the first time.
Real quick, I know this is boring to people, but I think it's
not
interesting. Do you think, I don't mean you, but I mean, I know Anderson's going to freak out. Has your life changed in a way with her that you want to share everything with her? Like when you're somewhere and it's great, do you think like, I wish she was here to see this with
For
me
most
stuff?
Stuff, but there's still plenty, you know, to be fully forthcoming, there's still plenty of stuff that I'm like, this is better alone.
Yeah. But I mean, Paris is one of the things you want to experience.
Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. If I was going on a fishing trip to Mexico, yeah. I'd probably be like, yeah, this would be cooler with either by myself or with my boys.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paris, without question, is something that I, even if I was going alone this time around, I'd want to go back in a couple weeks and take Bianca.
When you thought you were going to marry her for the first time,
yeah.
Had you met her parents and stuff?
Yeah.
And were you nervous about that or did you have any apprehension? Do you ever look at a girl's mom and think that's very likely what she's going to turn out to be like?
Sometimes. But I didn't have any apprehension really with meeting the parents because I, if anything, you know, and I'm sure you kind of go through the same, you know, because we've had talks off the air about, you know, the feelings of inadequacy a lot of time. If anything, I get nervous about meeting girls' parents because I feel like they're not going to like me, not because I'm not going to like
That's
them.
That's what I meant. Yeah. That's totally what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have that. Bianca's father has passed, so I think I got off the hook a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's a weird thing about the guy meeting the guy.
Yeah, because the guy knows what the guy's thinking.
Yeah,
And women know what the daughter's thinking, but they accept it a lot more.
And the woman is the mom's usually just happy if they see the daughter happy.
Yeah,
whereas
absolutely.
The dad's like, "What are you doing to my daughter? Like, well, what's up with your sleeve? You know?"
Absolutely.
I know how much Bianca was very close with her father, so I don't wish the fact that he's passed on anything. I would kill to have him back because it was very hurtful to her to lose her father at a young age. But I got to skate on that one because he has since passed. So, I think a lot of the trepidation that you have for meeting the parents of the one you love went away for me. Because of the fact that I didn't meet. But she has like a pretty badass brother, which kind of.
Yeah.
That was a little weird for me.
How old is the brother?
Like 30.
You know what bums me out about this whole thing?
What?
Is that it makes me feel like everyone's growing up.
Fuck that shit.
No, but it does make me feel that way.
Well, I mean, listen.
Like everyone I know is married or they're having kids and stuff, and I'm like...
I go through that. When I was getting divorced, that was right about the age where it seemed like everybody in my life was settling down. And then you got to realize that not everybody has the same plan. And there's a tremendous amount of everyone's life. And this goes for all of us. There's a tremendous amount of our existence that you just absolutely cannot control.
Most of it, I think.
And the sooner you start to recognize what you can and can't and really let go of the things you can't control... the easier it's going to be. And the fact is, like, maybe you will die a single guy. Oh, well.
I'm not even worried about that. It's just sometimes you have to you think everything is always going to be a certain way, and then someday you kind of face it, and you're like, huh, half my life's over.
Yeah. How you envision reality as a kid, you know, and I include, like, your early 20s as kid, you know, territory.
What about your 40s?
How you envision your life, it is kind of, it's hurtful in a way in that, you know, almost always turns out completely the opposite of how you envision it. And it can get hurtful. You know, for me, I'm happy in many ways that it's totally different than how I envisioned it. Because, like, I in my wildest dreams, I would have had, like, a union construction job or be, like, a fire.
Yeah.
In my wildest dreams, I was like, man, they'll overlook the fact that I'm a felon and I have all this shit on my record and I could be a fireman. That would be, like, dream come true job for me, or, like, get a really good steady union construction job.
I didn't even mean it in a negative way. I just meant it like when I look at my niece and my nephew, and they're becoming little people, and my niece is becoming a girl, and you're like,
someone's gonna have sex with her.
No, but I liked it better when she was a little kid.
Yeah,
you know, now that she's like 5 and she recognizes things and she wants people to think she's pretty, and you're like, oh brother,
Michael, Toronto. Why is Anderson so upset about us having this conversation that I think is an actually pretty good conversation? And by the way, you invited me in.
No, I like you in here. I want you to be in here.
Okay.
It's just that I had to leave and then I had to come back in.
Why is Tyler not here?
Because he's a cunt.
Explain.
Yeah. He sends us a text. Mike and I are having a very nice dinner with web extraordinaire Damien. And we're at dinner, and all of a sudden I get a text and it says, oh, by the way, I'm in D.C. tonight. He's a big shot now. Big shot.
So is he in D.C. for NBC?
I've heard that he's really hard up for money because his new job's not working out so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some kind of political convention, as there is often is the case in D.C. And apparently he gets a pretty penny.
From who?
From certain politicians who like their boys looking like that. And he goes in there on weekends. He's been doing it like twice a month.
He has been. I follow him on Instagram. He seems to be posting a lot of Lincoln Memorial.
And it's all hands, I guess. It's all hands. He doesn't actually have to do any kind of actual mouth work or penetration.
Yeah.
But apparently he makes some pretty good money because they like him tall and hairless. And
that's
young.
More believable than he's out there doing work for the government, because we all know, like, he's Tyler.
A couple things on the message boards. No, Loveline's not going anywhere. I don't know where this rumor erupted from, came up from. But recently, a lot of people have been asking me. I'm hearing rumors, and I think it's just because Drew and Corolla are doing some things, and they're calling it Loveline on their little tour, which is odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, Loveline's not going anywhere. Believe me, Mike and I know a lot more than the rumor mill.
Well,
it's not happening.
I thought you were talking about me. I'm like, I don't know anything.
When they mean going somewhere, what do they mean? Like
leaving, like after all these years being canceled. It's
yes.
It's out there, and let me just tell you that the pre-show is going nowhere, okay? Also, Rune, I know what
rumor,
you did while I was in that other room. I know that you shot the camera on me now, and I don't appreciate that at all. And that was a one-time event, so everyone can slow down.
I will say this. This is a little
snortsky in there. A little snortsky.
I will say this for you people who have a vested interest in Loveline or any other radio show or television show.
I thought he was talking about black people for a second. I was really uncomfortable.
If there is a chat room or a forum or message board or anything, Facebook page dedicated to fans of said show, I have recognized this firsthand from working at the Kevin and Bean Show and on Dancing with the Stars and on Loveline, a couple other shows as well.
I have no idea what's going on.
There is 0% truth to anything on any board unless anybody who's actively on the show posts it.
Yeah.
I get the feeling it's coming from the Ace Network camp, because I heard from somebody who's over there often. They also heard it. So it's weird. It's odd. But believe me, nothing. In fact, nothing can happen because of contracts.
I don't think it's coming from anybody, because there's no one has anything to benefit by starting a rumor like that.
A guy named Brian asked me.
Mm.
Don't say that on the show, though. Yeah. It was weird, though. It was upsetting. It was odd. Stop looking at me like that.
Well, I'm wondering what at a place like that with a guy like that, where those rumors would even develop.
I know. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's odd. It's strange. But it doesn't matter, because it's not what we're talking about. I went to the Watts Towers today.
Yes, you did.
And it was the most relaxing hour and a half of my week, I think. Oddly.
How is that possible?
I think because I went in there with great trepidation. I know you already used that word, but I was nervous and trepidatious and concerned.
Maybe the towers
caught
some
to go
sort
in
of
with,
spiritual power.
I wanted to go in with you and your Civic, but you had to split, and I don't know where you had to go, but you couldn't come with me. So I had to drive in there in my white man lawyer Lexus sedan, which I did not feel comfortable cruising in there with.
You shouldn't have.
Yeah. By the way, a blue book on my goddamn car, $4,000, okay? So everyone settled down. Yeah, it's 4 Gs. I don't know why, because I drove it into the ground already. So many miles. But I was nervous and I got lost because the new Apple Google Maps sucks my balls.
Oh, it's horrible.
But the new Google Maps is great now.
Yeah, Google Maps is fantastic.
It's back. Get it while it's free. Everyone download it. It's back. You know, I heard that Google Maps got back on iPhone. All they had to do was apologize.
That's what I heard today, too. I think I heard it from you.
iPhone just had to say, sorry, yeah, your maps are better. Anyways,
we listened to the same show, apparently, because I heard it on the radio.
Yeah, it was Conway Jr. Ding dong! But I was concerned. Huge shout out. I like the food.
Hey, what is the deal with him? Is he adopted or not? Because he said he was adopted at one point, and then he talked about when he was born.
Here's the deal with me. I don't care.
His dad rushed to the hospital.
I don't care.
Can we get a beat on that? Can somebody get on the internet? Figure that out for me so I can sleep tonight, for God's sakes.
What happened to Whitman?
Got to the watchtowers. And this all kind of ties together. Now, I saw the new documentary, Central Park 5, which is a documentary about the 1989 jogger rape case. And it's old history, right? But I wasn't that familiar with the case. And it's all about these five black guys in Harlem getting railroaded, five black kids getting railroaded for this crime that they did not commit, and they served a lot of time, and they've, like, almost 10 years, more than 10 years ago now, they've been released, but they're telling, it's a Ken Burns documentary, and they tell the story about how corrupt the NYPD was, and it was a good history lesson, because a lot of people and a lot of history gets completely fucked up, word of mouth, and, you know, down the
I'd say all of it does.
Grapevine. Here's what was true in my head before I went to the watchtowers today, all right? True in my head, Mike's. I believe this to be true. And I live in L.A., grew up in L.A. This is how ignorant I am. And I heard it from somebody probably drunk in a bar. And it was fact to me. A black man in Watts, during the Watts riots, collected all of the trash after the burning and built the fucking Watts Towers. What? That was truth in my head. How dumb am I? You know, it was an Italian immigrant.
Wow.
Who built them like in the 20s.
Did you make that up in your head? Or did
no,
you, did you
somebody
hear
that told
as a
me
rumor?
That. And I'm like, makes sense.
So the crime in New York, though, was one of the most horrific things ever because of the way the news built it up. And they were calling it wilding, where they would run out and randomly rape somebody, gang rape somebody. And so the rumor – it wasn't a rumor. It was such a rumor that it became common knowledge to everybody that this was occurring in Central Park, where this gang would run out and just rape.
It wasn't
the
just
fuck
about raping. It was about beating like this.
Yeah, but
guy,
it was called wilding, and
it
became a phrase that was very, very common.
Wilding.
And here's what I just thought of. What if you're making one of these documentaries about one of these groups, and you're a Ken Burns type, and you're – halfway through this very expensive, very tedious documentary, and then all of a sudden you realize the person's guilty.
Gives you a great turn in your story.
Yeah. Yeah, but this whole time you've been steering it towards not guilty, putting your slant on it. Now all of a sudden you're like, ugh.
I mean, it would not be ideal, but it would make for a different movie. All right, guys. I got to get some rest, but thank you.
You look tired.
It's been a long week.
Truly, good luck.
Thank you, brother.
I know that you don't need much luck. Enjoy yourself.
I'll see you on Sunday.
Sit back and enjoy.
Sit back and.
I can't believe the fucker's coming to work on his wedding day.
When are you coming to France? When are you going to France?
And next Saturday, week from Saturday.
I heard that you've experienced the shit out of France. I got that.
I did.
Goodbye. I got that joke. I got that little reference there.
You're Jerry.
He said that because he's shit.
No, I heard.
You're Jerry Sandorfsky.
I heard him tell the story on Loveline.
I hope that one person listening gets that. Look at how proud he is of himself.
Wait, I want to know what that joke is because I pictured was Tim Conway doing Dorf, that guy with the no legs.
Oh, that's Google. That's what it is. That's what it is.
It'd be funny to put like a Pittsburgh hat on
Jerry
him.
Sandorsky. I think I called you that before. Get out. I did.
What is
out
the joke?
Parking lot.
Good night, Bert.
Fill me in.
He just called me Bert. That's really inside. All right, we just call each other people that we don't like. It's that simple.
Yeah, don't think
it's
I'm
that simple.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Watch this one. All right. See you, Carano.
I don't get that one at all.
Just kidding. See you, Tyler White.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be rude by slouching in my seat, but I put this jacket behind me and I'm going to leave it here because I don't want to forget it. Mm-hmm. And I keep going like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's slippery.
Can I tell the third story, third hand story real quick?
It's not what I told you today, right? Because I came to a conclusion.
Oh, I would never tell a story about you.
And you said you would bring that story up if the opportunity.
Oh, no, if I had the opportunity, yeah.
I've decided that's a terrible idea.
No,
no
I'm going
what.
To, and it's
going
to be hilarious. Because but don't worry, you won't be implicated.
If it's true, it's not going to be hilarious. It might cause
I need to know
a very bad reaction.
Why, whatever. We're talking about something that will never be talked about on the show until it is talked about on the show, but you won't know it's being talked about on the show because it will be so long from now. But it could happen.
It could be dangerous.
It could be great.
You know that chick in England that killed herself because of the crank call from the radio station?
Oh, well, we need ratings.
You know what? That means we'd have to take credit for
it. We're talking about a listener who may or may not have done something. All right, whatever. God damn it. We got to stop talking in code about things that don't exist or may not. All right. My mom told me this story last night at dinner. And it's a funny story once I even thought more about it. A woman she knows from Persia.
Yeah.
aka Iran. And we're going to get Damien in here in a moment. We're going to talk tech stuff. Leo Laporte style. But a woman from Iran had her brother in town who's from Iran as well, born and raised, lives there. He came out here on a visa to visit her. Doesn't speak like a lick of English, right? So he's out there. She let him borrow her car, and he's like driving, and he's not driving too good because he's nervous, and he's never been in a big city like this with cars going fast. So he's driving slowly, and a cop pulls him over. And apparently there's a saying in Iran that is – they say, like, oh, I fucked up, or it's probably very similar to my bad or sorry, mm-hmm. and it's I ate shit. So a cop comes up to this guy's window, and he's very, very nervous because he's a foreigner in a foreign land, and he's dealing with one of our police officers, and cop tells him to roll down his window. He doesn't know any English at all, so he just starts saying, I ate shit. I ate shit. And the cop's like, can you get out of the car, please, sir? I'm sorry, I ate shit. I ate shit. Keep saying it to the cop, calls 911. He's thinking, this guy ate shit. I better call. And he's driving erratically.
I love the fact that the cop calls 911.
Because he's a cop.
Definitely third hand.
So flash forward like 45 minutes, an hour. The guy's in the hospital continuing to tell all the nurses and the physicians, I ate shit. That's all he can say.
They're ready to pump his stomach?
They do. So they're pumping his stomach, and he has no idea what's going on. He's in this foreign land. See you, Rune. Thanks for selling me out, you fuck.
Thanks, Rune. Good night.
And he's in this foreign land, and he's getting, and then they finally find a Persian nurse that's in the vicinity to come in and, you know, talk to him, and she goes, no, this, he's just saying he's sorry. So they pull the tube out of his stomach.
Did you do any research to see if that's true? The
it's like
shit
my
thing?
Mom's friend. I didn't. I was hoping Ollie would know, but I don't know if Ollie would know. Because hello, is this Ollie? Hello. That could just be a bad call, or it could be. Hi, this is Ollie. Is this Ollie? Hi. You're on the After Disaster. Welcome to the program. Yeah, maybe let's see.
What's that mug doing in here?
I brought it in because a listener made it for us. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Why are there two of you?
Do I talk now?
Yeah,
hello?
Go ahead,
can
talk.
You guys hear me?
I did. I swear to God, I went in there and switched it. So you tell a story.
Hey, all right, I'm going to tell a story. What would you like to? What story should I tell? Anderson and I spent about an hour and a half at the Los Angeles County Assessor's Office, I believe, or Records Department, to try to straighten out his marriage certificate. So he and Jillian can finally have sex. They've been waiting so long. And that was fun. Then we went to International House of Pancakes. Ate a bunch of stuff I wasn't supposed to eat. And it was goddamn delicious. Waffles are amazing. I'm trying not to talk too much because I don't want to... I don't want to get in the middle of a big story and then have Anderson come in and have missed part of it. What's happening?
How's it going?
Pretty good.
All right, here's the part where you would get applause, but
Tyler's not here to run the sound effects.
Sucks as an assistant on a radio program. Is not giving you the applause, so we'll do it. Yes, today was very, very nice, Mike. My favorite part of things was when we were waiting in line at the horrible government building, which you and
it
I were both
horrible.
Very uncomfortable in.
Very uncomfortable.
Luckily, we got Farah in window 4, who was very nice government worker. Which
she's
is
a
rare.
Listener.
She is a listener. She admitted that. She was maybe that's why she was nice, because she recognized us. But she took good care of us. Thank God, too, because did you explain why we had to be down there? How ridiculous?
A little bit. I skimmed it.
Bureaucracy.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't explain that part.
Continues to not disappoint. Bureaucracy, government-run fucking facilities. Ridiculous. They wanted, like, you know, they nickel and dime you. $95 for the wedding license, $15 for that. I send in the license, and then they're supposed to sign me back like a registered paper saying that we're married. They send it back and they say, oh, you didn't have a a notary sign it, which is what is a notary? It's like some person.
I thought
who,
Farron was a notary.
Farron, I don't. He may be. I don't. Farron was a witness. I had like 3 witnesses. You signed it. We signed it.
Farron
everyone
seemed to be
it.
The most responsible person there, and I thought he was in charge.
Farron's
of all this stuff.
A friend of mine who was there,
but he's very responsible.
He's a drunk.
It's very.
I
very
love him, but he's an alcoholic, like all of us.
Mickey and I came to the conclusion that he was the most responsible.
He's
person
a,
there.
The most caring person there for sure, yeah. And he might be the smartest of all.
He was
us.
The most responsible for sure.
And did that make up for the drunk comments, Farron? He listens.
You said smartest and most caring, so yes, that absolutely
trumps the drunkness. Okay, good.
Here's what I want to know about that building.
Let
it's
me
a
continue.
Federal building.
Let me continue.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to close this door.
And Damien, we'll get to you in a second. I'm sorry.
No problem.
We're all over the place. Because you know why we're the After Disaster? Why are you stumbling, Mike? Concerns me.
Okay. So they send it back and they say, hey, we can't cash your check. We can't make this official because a notary didn't sign it, which is, as far as I could tell, a notary is usually a woman, a lady, who wants a couple extra bucks.
Yes,
and she goes down and she takes like probably a $200 course where she has to put her hand on a Bible or swear to some judge or something so she's official and
you're
she's
exactly
never going to lie.
Correct. That's exactly what it is.
And then you call these people up and you say, hey, will you meet me at Starbucks down the street? And I'll give you $30 for you to sign a fucking piece of paper.
I don't think it's that they're not going to lie. I think then they become somehow responsible in the eyes of the law. Johnny Law.
It's ridiculous. So what do? We had a stranger under our home and gave her $30 so she could sign a piece of paper. So I could send it back to this government building and wait for us to get the little piece of paper saying that we're technically legally married, so Jillian can change her name and get get her work all straightened out because her work's giving her a bunch of tax bullshit. So it comes back for the third time, and I'm thinking this is it. And I give it to Jillian. She's all excited. She's high fiving me. She opens it up.
Really?
Yeah, really. There's two things that are highlighted. One of them is the date, which we wrote, which you could. I swear to you, you know how people are like legally blind, but they're
not really legally blind? The date was very clear.
Very clear, but Mike's K in his name, because he signed right below it, went into the box a little bit. They highlighted that. Oh, illegible. Can't read that. And then denomination for the church.
Yeah.
I'm non-denominational, so I put a struck that from the record. I put a little line through it. They highlighted that big.
Yep.
And they said, you need to refill out this form and give us $30 more and send it back to us. And then we will send it back to you. And then you can track down your officiant, who is Mike Carano,
have him sign it. Got
to
find that guy.
Then send it back to us again.
Out in the
bush. And then we'll send it back to you. So you should get it in about 90 days. It's just, so I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to drive.
Sounds like the hockey strike.
49 miles it was from my house and meet my officiant down there. And we're going to go to window. Oh, because I also called and yelled at them. And I got a woman who, English was not her first language. And I'm not trying to be like redneck white guy. But she reminded me of my math tutor. And I failed math because I couldn't understand my math.
In Vietnam?
Very Vietnamese. And she just kept telling me the same thing over and over again. She never gave me any explanation. So we went down there, did the unheard of. Because was she not shocked? She's like, what? This is your officiant? He's with you?
Yes, she was very excited. But everything about this could have been way worse because it was a pretty pleasant experience. But the fact that she said go to window A and we thought it was window 8.
Yeah.
And window A was covered up completely by a fucking piece of mistletoe or something, by a bow.
Big red bow.
The first three windows, the numbers were completely covered by decorations.
Government was very, and we also saw.
I mean, completely covered, right?
The sad girl who's getting married at the courthouse.
With her dress on.
With her dress on, getting her wedding pictures right out in front. And that's just sad.
I want to know how that works because, like I was telling you, in Fullerton, I would drive by the place where you got your wedding lot. It was right in the part of the town where all the bars were, downtown Fullerton. And there would always be a couple of Mexican chicks out there in wedding dresses with their families going in to get a certificate. And I assume now, in retrospect, that they were going to get the certificate and run off and get married right then. Like, there's no planning. You know, it's like, I'm pregnant. Here's a dress. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. It's odd.
Is that how it happens?
Yeah, it's exactly how it happens. That's why they sell them with the zipper. You can zip out the belly or you can zip it in
If you need extra room.
Yeah, they actually have them. It says
elastic.
Special on 3 to 9 month pregnancy wedding dresses. Yeah.
And it says ages 12 to 16.
Oh, my God.
Did I just get racist, by the way? I didn't mean to.
I turned 12. I heard this on the same radio program that we both listened to. A girl on a soccer team, her number is 12. She's turning 12 on 12-12-12. Oh, my God. And I didn't care. And
I don't care either.
That was like yesterday, too, wasn't it?
It's closed today.
How about this? Have you been down to one of those federal buildings?
Talking to Damien.
Yes, I have to actually get my business license. And
that's exactly right. Now, now, what is the deal with the groups of people outside that are barking for asking you questions if you want? And what was the question? An illegitimate business license? Or what do they refer to it as, Anderson?
What? Sorry.
The business license is the fraudulent business license.
Oh, fictitious.
Fictitious.
Excuse me, sir. Here's what you get a lot. If you go to a registrar's office.
They're not together, though. They're people fighting for your dollar. I don't know what they want.
I'm not sure either, but they look like the type of people you'd see in the Pacific Northwest fighting for women's suffrage.
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. But like the fictitious business name thing, like you have to say your name, and then you have to get it put in a newspaper for a month before it's, like, legit or whatever. Like, I know how to do that.
What's the advantage of that?
It's just so you can do business legally.
But it's not a DBA, right? Because that has to go through a process.
No, yeah,
because that's illegal.
Yeah, yeah, no. So,
real quick, do you like how I know nothing about this, but the one thing I know about, I raise my voice? Because that's legal!
Yeah, DBA is doing business as, but, like, that has nothing to do with anything. Like, it's basically so you can't, like, be like, oh, I'm going to start Microsoft San Diego or whatever. Like,
it's more, I mean, the way I see it is in with people that manage celebrities and stuff. So they can sign their checks for them, and they could.
I
don't understand any of it, and it confuses me and angers me because the government buildings are so stringent and sterile and boring and uptight, and then they got these fucking like they're almost like they're.
It's basically confusing. They run you around, and then every year I have to write an $800 check to the state of California, and then a $55 check to the city of San Diego. Just for no reason.
I want to move to Greenland and grow my own carrots.
I'm tired of it. You think you're going to hop into the carrot market and Greenland's going to be huge?
Yeah.
But Greenland is... Everything here is white.
Greenland's the pretty one, right?
Orange. Are they trying to change their name right now? Oh, no, it's Iceland.
Iceland's trying to change their name because they want Greenland. Because they used to be Greenland, I believe, and they switched the name. Iceland. Tricked the Vikings.
Yeah, Iceland.
We're the shitty one. We're icy. Greenland's over there.
Greenland is icy.
They should have switched it to Bjork.
I switched the name.
Bjorkville.
I broke my computer. My microphone. Broke my microphone there. It's back.
Where is Sweden in relation to that?
I eat shit.
East.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think has hotter chicks?
Iceland.
Sweden or Switzerland?
Iceland.
They both have sweet skiing.
Mm-hmm. Good point. That wasn't the question. But
quick inside scoop. Little piece of dirt on somebody.
All right.
Band member. Singer of Fun.
Never heard of
band
them.
Fun. You don't know that song, Mike?
Mm-mm. I saw him at Saturday Night Live.
Singer, colossal asshole. Colossal pain in the ass.
They
asshole.
All look like dipshits.
Let me ask
was
you.
Was he on the show tonight?
Was his tongue out of his mouth when he was on SNL?
I just
or is that
know,
just what he did for us?
I fast forwarded it. So.
Was he on tonight?
No, he was at the show that I was at over the weekend with Jillian.
Oh, the acoustic Christmas show?
I wasn't going to name it, but yeah, he was there.
Was it fun?
Yeah, Jill and I had a great time because we got in a huge fight right before
except
we left.
For fun.
Not
fun
a huge fight.
Fun.
Fun was fun. They're okay. He looked like he was ready to sail, like hop on a sailing boat in the 80s or something. That's like no one has style anymore that's like style of today. It's
that's
all just style of yesteryear.
That's
like,
exactly
pick a decade.
That's exactly how he looked on Saturday Night Live.
Really?
He looked like he was going fucking sailing.
Yeah, he looked like he was going to sail.
Yeah.
But he had a great time up there on the stage. And can't really tell with the person's stage presence. He looks like a yuppie. He looks like a lot of. He looks like the kind of guy you'd want to beat up in like the 80s that went to your school and his dad had a lot of money. You know, which is a weird look to choose if you're going to be a rock star.
Yeah, but you bring up an interesting point because there's a lot of people now that go retro on the way they dress and the way they act. Mm-hmm. Do you think that was always the case? Do you think people in the 60s were retro?
No.
I'm being serious.
I know you are, but no, they had like they were all about cutting edge and getting into the future, and this is what people
and people
wear
in
now.
The 70s, it started to go a little bit like there's a few guys that are going to go white t-shirt, blue jeans with a cigarette.
Well, that's always been.
Yeah, but I mean...
Stylish, though. That's like the one that doesn't go out.
But now it's like everything is retro.
Everyone's like, pick a decade. It's like, I'll be the 20s, you be the 40s, I'm the 60s.
It must have been much better to be around. I was around, but I was a little kid. But it must have been much better to be groundbreaking or where something was more realistic.
It's like, can you be groundbreaking anymore? Because the past, like the movies of the past that were predicting the future was so bad. Yeah. Now everyone's afraid of the future, I think. Because no one wants to wear
But you really
tinfoil.
Can't be groundbreaking. Like, if you're in a band right now, what are you going to wear? You gonna go bell bottoms?
You gonna wear a meat dress?
You gonna go like grungy? You gonna go shorts?
What would you do?
All I know is the dude from Fun. Like he looks like the
back
the,
to Fun.
He looks like the dude like from 16 Candles. Like the main guy who's going after
Michael C. Hall? No, Michael Anthony Hall. I did the
no,
same
no,
thing
no,
on
not,
the film.
No, 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 not him.
It's Dylan.
Oh, Dylan?
Yeah. He looks like that.
A little
dude.
Bit, yeah.
But it's like. If he was like the dick he should have been to her, like that's how that guy, that's what that guy from Fun reminds me of.
You know what he invokes that he evokes that in people. Like I was sitting there with Jillian, and I like that one song. I'm the old guy now that likes the hit. Play the hit, and I found myself talking to her the entire set.
I dare you to say that at a show sometimes.
Oh, I scream that
during
at shows
a quiet moment
all the time.
Play the hit.
I scream
we gotta
that
get home.
At shows all the time, and it's really
Inner
funny.
Sandman.
It's really funny to scream it at the like the opening bands that don't have a hit. That's really sad and funny. I got that from my buddy Mickey. He used to do that. Anyways, I found myself just saying, he reminds me of this. He reminds me of that. He reminds me of, like, he's reminding me of all these things that I hated.
Yeah.
Like, he wears, like, capris and boating shoes. And, like, a collared shirt.
That's not cool, Mr. Robert Palmer.
Is his name Blake Chambers?
I don't know what that means.
But I saw him backstage.
Blake Chambers.
That's the name of, oh God, what do I know that from?
A young pretty girl was brought over to him because she was a huge
fan. I'm
going
to stop talking about this now.
She couldn't have been happier to meet the man. And she just wanted her picture taken with him. And it was as though she was asking him to help her with groceries out to her car. And he wasn't being paid for it. I mean, he was just beyond indifferent and just, he never looked at her once. Didn't smile for the picture. As soon as the picture was over, turned his back and like walked away quickly. Now, I don't even want to get into it. But I mean, I fucking hate people that are assholes like that. Oh, by the way, if you ever see me in person, you want your picture with me, I will not take it.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to throw that out.
Don't even look at me.
Please don't look me in the eye.
He'll try to fight Kings fans too.
Oh, you saw that in person. I met Damien at
Okay.
Now you're remembering this?
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
I talked to Damien on Twitter.
I don't
back
pay attention,
forth.
And I don't remember the show.
Damien's a Pittsburgh guy.
But now I absolutely remember.
Damien's a Pittsburgh guy, and we were going back and forth on Twitter, and he said he was offering, he runs a company that puts together a website. Why don't you plug your company there? Scott by Scott, don't listen to this part.
Yeah, we're Triton Computing at TritonComputing.com. We do websites and consulting and all that stuff. So,
what about Spark Design? What do you think of them?
Actually, he does good work.
Yeah, I know he does. He's really good.
I actually sent him a thing asking if he wanted to ever like partner.
He probably ignored you. He's kind of punk rock.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of
punk rock. So. I like that guy a lot.
We're shooting him down right now. He's like, I want to do it. Like, nah, he's not interested.
I kind of figured as much, but I was just kind of like threw it out there, just like, hey, if you ever want to.
I wasn't sure what to think of Scott by Scott, and then I met him. And honestly, he's one of my favorite people. I've met a lot of people like now who, you know, I've met through this show, and he is up top three. And I'm not just saying that because he does. Guy was fucking hilarious. He was so dry and so funny. I love that kid.
Here's the thing is, what's odd about this? It's really not odd. It's just life that you met him at a Penguins game.
Well,
and now
we were talking before on Twitter.
Oh,
what I was saying,
okay.
Like, he was letting me know because I threw it out there that I needed a website. And anyways, we're talking back and forth. He's
but this
a Pittsburgh
could go
guy,
either way
so
in
met.
Life, like where you just randomly meet people and it's all chaotic and you don't know what's going to happen. And some people meet a serial killer, mm-hmm. and some people meet their wife.
Some people meet a web designer
person.
Who does really good work. He's a nice guy. But yeah, when he met me, I just happened to be like on the verge of getting into an actual like fight with a Kings fan, which was awkward and uncomfortable because like I had to be that guy, and I'm like, dude, I know that I come off as like that guy, but I'm not always like on the cusp of some kind of interesting story.
Yeah.
Everyone was catching shit though that night.
It was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. It's because like they were just kicking the shit out of them. So,
yeah.
My buddy Don in there is the guy who was with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I met him before.
Yes. Yeah, so,
gonna meet you again, Don. real quick, my favorite part of today, I think, was Mike got me all excited when he first got there because he saw me. I was about to have part of a sandwich, and he's like, "Oh, I wanted to go to this pancake place with you afterwards." And I'm thinking, cool, pancake place. And I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't know where I am. And it's like, I'm thinking of some new little mom and pop place or something. So he's like, yeah, we got to walk over here, though. We walked, I don't know, probably about half a mile to this pancake place. And then I see it on the horizon. And it's fucking IHOP. And I was so disappointed.
It's a pancake place, though, right?
Why wouldn't you say, oh, I thought we could go to IHOP over there?
I don't know. Now that I think back on that, you're right. That was weird.
It was. It was kind of disappointing. To be honest.
Good call, Mike.
Should we talk racist stuff?
Why not?
Real quick, you want to talk stupid stuff?
Yeah.
So this is going nowhere. I'll make it really fast. Going to the car show. I knew I was going. I wake up. You know how sometimes I'm in a daze and I'm not paying attention a lot of the times? I cruise down Robertson. I want to get on the 10 to go to downtown Los Angeles. I blow right past the 10. I get on the 405 to the 105, about halfway to Orange County, and I'm like, I'm not going here. I'm going to the car show. So it's an hour out of my way. Mm-hmm. I backtrack, go to the car show.
How pissed were you?
Kind of pissed, but I was kind of like, just speak, calm down.
Really?
Don't be pissed
I'd be
about
so
this.
Pissed.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I leave the car show, coming home. I blow right past the Robertson exit, Santa Monica, dead end where the freeway dead ends. I'm like,
what are you thinking about, dude? You're a deep
I don't
thought.
Know what I was
You're
thinking
working
about.
Some shit out.
I don't
You're
know.
Working some shit
yeah.
out.
And then I had to fight in traffic to get back to Beverly Hills.
This is for Damien, since he's a web guy, a computer guy. You're defragging your brain, bro.
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, you're defragging it.
That's not really a web thing.
No, it's not really at all.
So wait.
How do you reach the web, Damien? Through computers, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Defragging.
Wait, so, Mike, how old is
no,
your car?
Damien,
how many miles
Damien
do you have on
is
it?
Not the old phone screener, for those of you who are asking. Sorry to interrupt.
5 years old. It's got 235,000 miles on it.
Jesus Christ.
How much do you have to drive to actually get it to the point where it's actually valuable because no one can believe that it has that many miles on it? You know what I mean? Like, there is some kind of XY, you know what I mean? Like, where they meet, like, where you could drive it, where if you get a million miles within 2 years, I bet you could retire that baby to, like, a museum.
I don't think so. First of all, that's probably impossible.
That's why we'd be able to museum it.
There was a Mercedes in the 90s that had a million miles on it, and they bought it back from the guy.
I remember that. I remember that. It wasn't like Nazi era?
No, it was like 70s.
You gotta reach that Civic with a million miles. That'd be impressive.
You know what? Any car can get a million miles if you keep it up. Uh-huh. You know?
I'd be really impressed with my Carano car that made it a million miles, though.
Every car I buy, I sell it with like 200,000 miles. This one, I didn't sell it, and I knew I should have, and it's cost me $5,000 since then.
All right. Okay.
Pretty interesting story.
Speaking of miles, and
I will write that out and post it on my website. You can read it.
Speaking of websites, I got to watch Damien at dinner tonight talk to Carano about his website. And it's so funny watching you process things, Mike, because you process them differently than... this sounds so wrong, but you process them kind of like a chick does.
Thanks. Because I have a feminine side?
No, because like, and Jillian's guilty of it too. It seems like a lot of
she is a chick.
Women that I've, and I'm not trying to be misogynistic here, but you tell a female, a lovely female something, and they hear something completely different and awful.
Mm-hmm.
And watching Damien.
Sometimes it's for the positive, though.
Rarely. It's almost always
sometimes
for the negative.
You'll tell a girl, that's a pretty dress, and what they hear is, I'm in love with you, that's a pretty dress, we should get married.
I think I knew you're going with this, so.
So I hear Damien's talking about your website, and he's telling you some of the
sometimes
flaws.
Sometimes I say hi to a girl, and she screams rape. They hear what they want to hear.
That's just high back, though, in those countries.
Oh, it's like she's from Persia?
You've been to a Korean market where like they sell rape by the pound? It's really uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah, it's mix it with dog. It's pretty good, though.
It's some kind of marinated chopped fish or something. It's called rape. And it just it says rape, $2.49 a pound, and I always get awkward.
You know what I think is odd is that nobody steps in and goes, listen, you probably shouldn't call
not
this,
in this country, man.
Number 13 on your menu, sweet young dong. You know, because we would think that's about a dick. You know, I mean, if we went over to China and said, oh, we're selling Asian cunt, which
wow!
is really no, I'm saying, you know what I mean? If we had a name for something
like
that.
Oh, wait, I already said that, huh?
And they'd be like, you know what? You should probably change the name to like strip steak instead of. I mean, I really did see.
I
saw Sweet Young Dong, and I was like.
Was that really what it was called?
Yeah, they have to think this is funny.
Is that what you see every day?
What? Only on the internet.
Wow, Damien.
Only on my secret website.
So I watched Damien talk. In no ways was he picking his website apart. He was telling me some things I could do with Film Vault to make mm-hmm. it a better website, which I never even go on, but I appreciate that. And I'm going to, you know, pass that along to my partners over there. Definitely some things that on my website. I got to yours. And, Mike, granted, yours is like 15 years old. You're using very old programming and stuff. I mean, you were definitely cutting edge.
Same program from
day
one.
Same program. You were explaining to us that it takes like 3-4 hours to post anything to your goddamn site. Explain to the listeners how you do it for those of our
this isn't
going to
be interesting because it's technical, but what happened is...
A lot of our audience...
I got a program to build websites
in
the 90s called Go Live.
Detailed.
It was discontinued
Scott will enjoy this.
Yeah, probably 2 years after I got it, it was discontinued. So I have a trial version that I bought. No, I didn't. I got
don't
it
buy
a disc,
trial version.
But it was on a disc. It wasn't even a download. It was a trial version. And what I do is I install the trial version. I have 30 days. I can do something on my website, and then when it expires, I have to reformat the hard drive on an older computer because the new operating system will not work with this trial version of Go Live. So I reformat
it with
the same disk
I've
had
right?
since 1998 or 1999, and I reformat the disk. It takes about 25 minutes, and then I install the program, and I have 30 new days to refresh my website. It's very tedious. It's very, very time-consuming to update one page.
What about the disk that you have to put in like 9 times?
Yeah, because the CD drive is doesn't read disks very well. It'll spit it back out. It'll just keep spinning.
And the laptop's gray, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're talking like Pentium 3. Like,
wait a minute.
It's not a. It's a Mac, but it. I'll
my
tell you.
Oh, you're. Oh, it's. Well, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And it's not
fancy Mac top. Black.
The laptop is at least.
You spent like $5,000 on
I
it when it came out.
I spent $4,300. It's got 10 gigabytes of storage.
You could probably give that to a museum.
Really.
Yeah,
with your car.
You're like, oh, sweet.
You have a working piece of shit Mac that nobody wants anymore.
Right. And guess what? I still use it.
Yeah.
So I was watching Damien. It wasn't nearly this harsh. Damien's, you know, he's been to the bar. He's had a couple. He's a little looser now. But he wasn't that way at all when we were talking. He was being quite respectful. And you raised your hand, Mr.
Real
Corona.
Quick.
Can I help you?
I'm going to be question. Totally honest with you. You want to know how much work I've done on that Mac? Almost zero. That was a DVD player for me for years and years and years.
Oh, that's the one that you... Mike told us an interesting story. We'll get to that in a second.
$4,800 DVD
very interesting.
Player.
Oh, it's 40, kind of interesting.
It's 43.
Mike, I'm pretty sure that what you did was fairly unique. So anyways, Damien's saying you don't have to... First of all, that horrific story of how you update your site, you don't have to do that anymore because you can do this, this, and this. You should do this for your site because otherwise it looks like a link farm and you're going to get spam if you do this and you're going to look like spam.
Link farm!
And Mike, I'm watching Mike process all this, and Mike is just hearing, I swear, I'm pretty certain that Mike is hearing this. You suck. Your website's terrible. Everything on your website is awful because you're a terrible person, and you're a failure in life. I'm pretty sure that's how you were taking it.
It was something like that, but not that harsh.
Well, he kept going back to like, well, I'm really worried about this Google thing.
Pretty technical here.
Also at dinner, Mike was explaining to us his formative years working at the Improv. Was it the Improv?
Yeah.
You used to have a somewhat of a ritual, which is an odd ritual.
It wasn't even that long ago. It wasn't even in the first 10 years that I did stuff for them. It was,
you'd walk to work. Or right? You'd park and walk by Tower Records.
Oh, yeah. No, I
it had
drive.
To be a while ago.
Oh, yes.
I lived in Tower San Records. Diego, and my office, I moved my office to Brea.
Okay.
It was like 2001.
These are details that don't add.
Point is, I had very little work to do. I should point that out as well. So I would buy a DVD every single day I came to work, and I would leave that DVD on all day and watching it on a loop.
Every single day he would buy a new DVD. Mm-hmm. So he's got a couple hundred
every
DVDs
mm-hmm.
before somebody finally gave him a membership to Netflix.
Yes, it was my friend Aaron who gave me the membership. Uh-huh. And here's the other thing, too, is you can tell which movies when I was getting desperate. Because I'd go into Tower.
You
have,
like, just, Street Fighter on DVD?
No, but I would randomly pick something. And I'd be like... All right, but I will say I've also discovered a bunch of movies that I would have never seen if it wasn't for that.
But is
wasn't
that
for
the way
cool
you'd
packaging.
Watch them the first time? Is you'd put yeah. them on and then start working, yeah. and they'd be on in the background uh-huh. on a loop?
Yeah, on a loop like 8 times
okay.
a day.
There's no way to watch a movie. There's at least, you know what? That's how you get acquainted with a new album.
I agree, but there's at least two
not
or three. There's probably 2 dozen movies that are some of my favorite movies that I would have never
like
seen. Master and Commander. I thought the packaging was cool, so I bought that. That was $40. Yeah. That was $38 or $39.
Tower Records has been closed for like 6 years now,
yeah,
I think.
At yeah. least.
So it's
at
been
least.
A while.
So your $4,300 DVD player to yeah. watch Master Commander and find out.
It's pretty $40 good. Version.
Through those little shitty speakers.
For your $4,300 great computer.
That Tower Records building that I bought most of those DVDs at is still there, and it still has Tower Records on the
is
outside.
Is it the one on Sunset?
No, it's on Bray, and next to the Bray Improv.
Okay. I don't know where Bray is.
You've been there.
Films, talking about movies. New Film Vault up this week. Tyler can't turn me down. You can fuck yourself, Ty. top 5 actors never nominated for an Academy Award. It actually turned out to be a very solid episode. I promise the listeners a very good episode after last week's abortion of robots, top 5 robots, where Brian literally sat there with a giant heart on for an entire hour and a half and just talked about Bumblebee. It was uncomfortable for everyone.
Are you serious?
Like, I'm a big Transformers fan. Like, I have a whole sleeve of tattoos.
It's true, you do.
But those goddamn Michael Bay movies are the worst piece of shit ever. Like, if I ever meet Michael Bay, I'm going to punch him in the head.
Well, if you can say anything about Brian, he's loyal.
That's good for a lawsuit, by the way. I wouldn't do it.
Not at all. It's not a lawsuit.
No, it's
if I see that guy
promise.
From the band Fun, should I just nail him in the face?
Yeah.
With my friends say you should say you're a dick.
With an oar. Because he's a boating guy. Looks like a boating guy. And then also website.
Do you
website.
Think that's his real persona, or do you think he just made that one up? He was like watching TV and went Thurston Howell.
No, he's
serious.
Dressed like
you know
a young
I mean?
Thurston Howell.
But do you think he wanted to develop a stage presence?
I think it's the dude from 16 Candles. I think it's the guy from 16 Candles.
But Dylan
Candles.
Was cool.
That guy from 16 Candles was never not cool. He was always like accepting of his friends.
Yeah.
He just happened to go out with a hot chick because of peer pressure.
That's what I
true.
Think he's trying
now
to do.
Now we're both on the pill.
unlike the dick in Pretty in Pink, the bully guy, it wasn't Andrew McCarthy. It was the other guy. That guy was a douche the whole time. And Andrew McCarthy was peer pressured into rejecting Molly Ringwald.
Mikey,
I just broke this movie down in my head, so I want to get it out.
Your site has been very slow the last couple of days, and you need to get the rest of your 5 minutes with Mike up there.
I think I know what the problem is with that.
Also, speaking of sites, at AndersonCown.com, I got like 7 or 8 new rundowns. I don't even call them reviews because there's enough reviews out there. I read reviews every now and again, and it makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Who would read a review where like they say if they like it or not in the very beginning, and then they spend like 6 or 7 paragraphs mapping out the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like rewriting the movie, but exactly how it happened. Why would you want to ever read that? It'd be like reading the synopsis of a hockey game and then watching it afterwards. Why would you ever do that?
Good point.
Or do you watch it and then read it so you can figure out how you feel about it or revisit it?
It's your opinion of the movie, though, right?
Yeah.
No, a lot of reviews is like they're going down. They'll spend – it's your opinion at the top, and then they explain the entire fucking movie. Like no, probably about 3 or 4 paragraphs where they run down the entire movie, what happens in the movie, who does what, and then the very end they'll say whether it's good or not. That's most reviews.
Do you think that's them trying to prove they know more than the filmmaker? Like trying to show that I know film and I understand where he failed at this attempt and stuff? Because
that's not even Siskel what I'm talking
and Ebert,
about,
I love that show when it was when Gene Siskel was still alive. I love the new version where he's dead and the other guy has cancer. No, you know what I mean, though? Like, I like that show because they didn't. They essentially found an expanded way to say whether they liked or didn't like something. And it wasn't insulting to the audience or necessarily insulting to the filmmaker, but they would slam a film if it sucked. But they wouldn't do it in a way like the filmmaker was incompetent. They would just explain, this movie bored me because of this and this and this, and they were good. It was quick and concise, and you knew, at least judging by, you know, based on what your opinion of their opinion was, whether you want to see the movie or not. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been steered very wrong by them, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sniper, they both gave a thumbs up.
It's because they're scared.
You know what? You got a point.
That's why.
Wait, got a point. Wasn't Siskel dead when Sniper came out? You're talking about the Mark Wahlberg movie, right?
No.
Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger and Billy Zane.
I think that they got bullied into liking some movies.
Yeah. That's a fucking great thing, because if I was reviewing the movie about the rapist, I'd be like, it was good. Because I don't want to get raped by those guys in New York.
They didn't rape anyone. They're innocent.
You also think that West Memphis 3 are innocent.
West Memphis 3 are totally innocent.
Yeah, okay.
He really thinks that they're guilty.
Here's the thing. Sniper, the reason that movie is memorable for me is my friend Dave went and saw it in downtown San Diego. And San Diego is a big military town, so there's a lot of military people at Horton Plaza at the movie theaters. I don't even know if they're still open.
Mike got jumped by a bunch of squids.
We're sitting in
this
theater. I
got jumped down there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I did it in Crown Point.
Oh, was it? I think it was Marines I got jumped by.
Navy guys.
When I was punk rock. Maybe it was Navy guys. I don't remember. I just remember getting punched a lot.
Me too. They were holding me and punching me, like in a movie.
Yeah, except for you did a dick thing to
them.
Totally
right. You were totally right.
I didn't do anything.
I drove at them at a high rate of speed and splashed them with mud.
I was punk rock and had a military vest on and had the sleeves cut off, and they didn't like that.
So here's the thing. So we're sitting in the movie theater in Horton Plaza, this ridiculously horrendous movie. It's so stereotypical. There's the old sniper that's been in the fucking jungle for 20 years. They send in the new yuppie sniper with the sweater on his shoulders tied. And he's now in command of the old-time sniper. And the government is in cahoots to get rid of the old guy because he knows too much now. So they got the new guy coming in. Basically, the old guy sort of catches on, and he's going to run the new guy through the, you know, run him into the ground now with showing him what it's really like to be a sniper living in the... in the fucking forest killing.
Well, especially since snipers
people.
Are like, it's two like people. It's two people, like, but these are like one guy each, and it's just like, it's Tom Berenger playing his character from Platoon.
Yeah. So there's a point where
Barnes.
They are in a river
Barnes.
To sleep. So they're holding onto branches this, or roots
above them. I love
that
them. Mike is doing this right now because he's completely and totally proving my case. Yeah. This is what most reviews are like.
But yeah, no, I'm telling
exactly.
The entire movie.
They just recount the entire fucking
they're
movie.
Sleep, they have to sleep in a river.
He's acting like we're disagreeing with him, too.
They have to sleep in a
classic
river so
Mike.
The enemy's
classic
dogs
Corona.
Don't smell them. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Berenger says, just don't take a piss because the bugs will swim up your dick. And my friend Dave goes, too late, I just took a shit. So we start laughing. Some of the guys in the Marines in there complained that we were disturbing the movie for them, and they kicked us out.
Well, as well they should. Sniper and no sniper.
Two
don't
idiots later, like 19 years old,
talking.
Ruined the movie.
And then 2 minutes later, he splashed mud on him and got the shit kicked out.
Wait a minute, Mike. Are you really defending yourself making terrible jokes, whether the movie was bad or not?
If you're in the Marines, at least come down and tell two idiots like me just to shut up instead of go get the...
They have so much testosterone flowing out of their cocks. Sorry, we're not that sure.
Yep.
That they realized if they even tried to deal with you, they would have instantly broken you down physically. There's no way that they could deal with you. They had to go get a mediator. That's
you're probably
why.
Right. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's why.
And it's that Horton Plaza theater. That's a.
Is it still
theater.
Open?
Oh, unfortunately, yeah. It's
I'd like
an
to take
place.
Back me saying testosterone.
Yeah, seriously, it sounds like a dirty word.
When I say cock, I'm seeing it backwards now.
I don't like the word cock, frankly.
No, I'm not a... Well, it's pretty solid. It's pretty solid. It's a pretty solid word.
I like penis the best.
All right. Somebody get that drop. Mike's saying I like penis the best.
That's weird. I did say that.
You did.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Is that all she wrote? Let's try and do the phone calls are not working out, and everything is patched properly, so I don't know what the problem is. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Mm-hmm. I love you guys. You're my favorite show. Don't hang up on me.
All right, I have them all on, so there's nothing more
Hi,
I can do.
You guys are my favorite show. Don't hang up on me.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's up? It's Fake Marcus.
Hey, Fake Marcus.
Oh, you guys put us all on, right?
What's that? Yeah, I put you all on.
Apparently. Not a good idea.
Were we supposed to call Tyler?
Well, no. I'm gonna get right on that. Yeah, Tyler, hold on. Let me call you.
3:30.
Let me run in there and make sure that the phone is down.
Didn't he say he was gonna be drunk? Go ahead and call.
I'll be super drunk.
Off the main show.
What's that now? Wait, hold on. Hold on. Let's do this like civilized podcasters. Hello, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? God damn it. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? How are things going tonight? How's your Friday treating you? This is a new one. Like, they can't hear me unless they're all on at the same time. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Me, Ali.
Hey, Ali, how are you? Have you ever heard of I Eat Shit?
No, because that's Persian, and they talk Farsi.
Yeah, but you understand that you're much closer to Persia, or what used to be Persia, which is now Iran, much closer than we are. It'd be like you asking me if people up north in Northern California say hello, and I would say, yes, they do.
It's not like that at all.
It's very similar.
Yeah, but...
How far is Iran from you?
No, but they're an entirely different continent. I'm in North Africa. They're in Asia. Different continents.
How far is Ben Affleck from you?
What?
I don't know. I just watched what? Argo.
North How many Africa, degrees ben from Africa? Kevin Bacon are you?
What if he's like, he's right here and he puts him on the phone? We're like, this is goddamn amazing.
Ollie.
Yep.
How far is Iran from you?
Like three countries worth. Like
no, that doesn't count.
Yeah, what is that?
How many kilometers or miles?
And the Red Sea.
Oh my god, I'm so dumb.
Still not explaining it properly.
Dude, you are like in North Africa,
right?
You might
as well throw As the Crow Flies in there.
Iran is not in Asia. Iran's in North Africa.
No, that's
no, it's in Asia.
I appreciate you looking at me for the answer,
but
do you
wait, the Middle East is in Africa.
No.
Northern Africa. Yes,
it is.
No,
Asia.
It's on the other side of the river.
I love
all Asia.
Ollie's just like, Asia! All right, yes, my ignorance is flowing.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Are you looking
out the window, or are you looking at a map?
Are you looking at the pyramids right now?
A map.
Has anyone ever defaced the pyramids? Have they ever had to, like, have you ever seen workers out there, like, scrubbing off graffiti or Banksy, like, put a big piece on one? Anything like that?
No.
You know who would be fun to talk to about this is my buddy Don, who is an archaeologist.
Don, get your ass
is
in here.
Is he really?
You'll be the second best archaeologist we've ever had on the show, I think.
I like how I say, is he really? Like, it's just...
She's an archaeologist, right? Non-Lockets? Or is she an architect? We have a listener, a lovely lady. We like her very much. Young lady, Jennifer Unlockets.
She's absolutely an archaeologist.
And I'm pretty sure she's an architect.
Oh, no, not this
or
again.
She's an archaeologist who digs up architects.
Oh, my God, I was at the Dollar Tree the other day, which is far superior to the 99-cent store, let me tell you. And a couple behind me was going. What kept saying, AD, and I was really concerned. But they had no idea who I was. They were laughing, and I looked down, and they were looking at some kind of candy or something.
Should have rolled tape on that. Baby.
I was really nervous because I don't want listeners. Tape. I don't want listeners who are frequenting the dollar store. You know what I mean? I want the high class listener.
You think
I would have asked
those?
Them to stop listening or find a new place to shop.
We've got a guy whose butler comes in with the. With the computer on a silver tray, sets it down.
The new podcast is downloaded.
Tune it into the After Disaster, Jeeves.
Don, are you coming in here or what? What's the deal? There he comes. All right.
Yeah,
I had to get aggressive.
You
see that? I had to let Tosta.
I know. I keep telling him to come in because he's got good stories.
Really? Well, he's got 2 minutes to tell them.
Thank God, because I've had nothing. Once again, second week in a row, I've offered nothing.
No, no. You know what? Scott by Scott, my second favorite internet programmer is on here on the message boards right now saying that he really enjoyed your I'm not much of an internet guy, so I can't recall.
Are you just saying that to make me feel better?
No,
photo's gone from the website.
What's that, buddy? Ollie? What?
Tyler's photo is gone from the website, from like the top of the page.
Oh, really?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Scott, you know what? You know what's great about Scott is besides his charming good looks, he's so quick and on top of it. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, he's very, very good. Very, very good. But
do you think he feels pressure? Like he's got this commitment every Thursday night more so than we do?
No, I think that he enjoys it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's
like
got
the fourth
commitment.
Oh, he's the third host.
Now he's the third. Tyler's got to start working on the website.
Scott, please put your picture in there. Please put your picture where Tyler's used to be. where was it?
Do it.
Looking for the email from Triton Computing. Mike's Go Live story might be one of the greatest. I can't agree with you.
That's
but
sad if that's one of the greatest stories.
So, Don, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
What's happening,
Don? The waning moments of the program. How did it sound in there? Lie to us, please.
Oh, it sounded fantastic.
The waning moments are the best, by the way. It gets really good once we're off.
That's when all the good talk goes.
Nice.
It normally does, actually. We've left here and gone on the parking lot and stayed out there for 45 minutes.
That might be the second most uttered phrase ever on this show. We always talk about how the show gets good after the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We should
you know
tape
what's the
it
most,
sometime.
The most uttered show thing on the show ever? This is the worst program we've ever done. Mm-hmm. It's the worst show we've ever done.
We haven't said that in a while, though.
You know what? No, I say it every week.
Yeah, he says it every week.
But you say it after the show more. Like, after the show's over, you'll go, that was
no, Ollie, you may not speak. The third most said thing ever is anything about the show. Constantly talking about the show on the goddamn show. That's gauche. Don't like it. All right, Ollie, go ahead.
Do you guys have any plans to have Benson on the Film Vault? Because you guys would make an awesome show.
Who's Benson?
Doug Benson.
Doug Benson.
Oh, thanks for listening, Ollie. He's been a guest two, maybe three times. Maybe, but you know what? That was back in the Ace days, so we haven't had him on in a while. Yeah, he's good. He's good. I like him. I like Benson. I just don't smoke weed, so I don't say. It's almost like
no common ground.
Yeah, it's almost like hanging out with a third sex that I don't want to be friends with and I don't want to fuck. So I don't really know how to treat them. You know what I mean?
And Brian only wants him on if he's going to play that game that he plays.
Yeah, that was what, you know what? So. Brian tried to make the Film Vault that kind of a show to begin with, and I was so
like
anti-
where you have challenges.
Yeah, you were constantly having like, and oh, coming up the next segment, we're going to do a little like we take wacky characters and give them strange scenarios and name that movie. It's like I don't want to be a part of anything like that.
I had a very very complimentary, very sweet listener. Send me a message.
I mean, she was hot and young.
Send me a message on YouTube and said, hey,
16.
You should check out my video.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay. And it's these two little girls making like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's very adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote back, great job. Scary crabs, because there are crabs in it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then I get a response, hey, thanks for watching, from her dad. And I go, I started to defend myself, and he goes, I would let you babysit my daughters any day of the week. And I wrote back, let me just be frank with you. I do a podcast. There's a bunch of internet stuff out there about this and that, blah, 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 blah. And I go, I don't want you to go online and read that and regret saying that. And
this is a father who met you online?
He's never met me.
But he listened to the show.
I thought that's the
bottom
line. He
met you through his daughter? Or he listens to the show?
He sent me a compliment on a video, and okay. I said, thank you. And he goes, hey, check out what I've worked on. And it was under his daughter's web channel, on his daughter's YouTube channel. And Rachel, I think her name was. And I wrote back very simply, like, good job, scary crabs, because there's crabs in it. And then I get the response from the dad, and I was like, uh-oh. This is weird.
Mm-hmm. Wait, talking about a man's young daughter's crabs is always going to be weird.
But he's very sweet. Well, there are crabs in the film. And I thought it was from a girl then. And
they look little hermit crabs.
But he is a listener. Said he's a fan. I tried to convince him the show's terrible. And he stopped listening.
It's not a terrible show.
What show?
We'll be the judge of that, Ollie.
You know what? Reggie once said that it has its moments. He's quoted as saying that.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. I asked him point blank. I'm like, Reggie, what did you think of the show tonight? He's like, total deer in the headlights, panicked. And then he's paused for about four or five beats and goes, it had its moments.
I wonder what Reggie thought back in the days when we were just blackout drunk in here and we'd bring him in.
We had to call blackout drunk.
We'd just be staring. I was blackout drunk a couple of those nights.
What
about that night we drank that eggnog?
Yeah, that was good. That was like a year ago tonight or 2 years ago tonight. Listen.
Congrats on the sobriety, Carano.
Thanks.
It was also odd that I should mention this in the government building today. Mike was obsessed with finding a video on his phone. What was that video? It was a man being executed on the street.
The guy
he
in
really
New York.
Wanted to watch a guy get killed on his phone while in the government building.
Yeah. He tried to find it. No, but here's the thing is I look at a couple of newspapers in the morning
Mike,
online,
so
and one of them said
at.
The video from the New York street, not security cam, but surveillance camera. And I click on it. You have to sit through a commercial first, and I'm like ready to watch this video.
For like T-Mobile.
No, but the only clip is the guy loitering. It's like 15 seconds, and then it cuts. And I wanted to see him shoot the guy. I don't really want to see it, but since
he wanted to
see it. Mike, there's a whole website called Faces of Death.
I don't want to see that.
Or
I
no,
want to
wait,
see this.
Rotten,
I want to see this.
Rotten.com.
I don't want to see that.
Bangedup.com or
that's
black
just too
blue.
Disturbing. I'm very sensitive. Seriously. This. I want to see what I heard on the news about how the guy walked back
YouTube,
and forth three
YouTube
times.
Murder videos.
Nope. I just want to see this particular one. And I don't want to see some guy just get out of a car in a very, very blurry video. I want to see him go back and forth and come up behind the guy and shoot him.
Don, you apparently have some stories. You have any stories? Not to put you on the spot.
Oh man,
I want to give you a moment here, a chance.
Well,
to,
he is a real life archaeologist. So.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You ever found a dinosaur's tooth?
Not yet. Oh. No,
he has been to Egypt and Belize.
You've been to Egypt?
I have. Yes.
All right. Figure out if Ollie's actually from Egypt. We have him on the line right now. I can't tell. Mike wanted to have him go outside and put his phone
Does
in the
know?
Sand
phone
and rub
sand.
It around to make sure that he's telling the truth. I don't know how to verify it.
There's a Pizza Hut that overlooks the pyramids. I know that because I've seen Don and Maynard in front of that Pizza Hut.
Gave all of that away, so now there's no way. You're in Egypt with Maynard?
No, not at this.
How has that not caused outrage, by the way?
But it overlooks it?
That Pizza Hut or Maynard was there?
Yeah, how has a group not gone, we are not going to put up with this in...
I think it was one of those 3-in-1, like, Pizza Hut,
Subway,
KFC,
Pizza Hut,
Green
Chevron.
Taco Bell. Really? Like, it's all just sort of right
By the
there.
Way, I'm not a fan of that whole idea. It's like a rest
Pizza
stop.
Pizza Hut, KFC, and Tekka.
There's a 31 flavors, a Taco Bell, and something else with a lot of rest stops as you drive.
If he gets this right, he is from Egypt. What was the third restaurant that's
Pizza Hut, KFC, and Tekka. It's the grilled chicken joint.
Can you confirm this?
Those are the 3-in-1s.
Don, maybe you haven't been.
Don.
It's like we're
Don says no. Don says no. Hey, Ollie, apparently you've been on a lot of these Loveline the Seconds or Loveline Act 2 shows with Drew and Carolla. Is this true?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I called them twice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe they've done 2 shows, that would be all of them. How many plugs have you given to your favorite podcast?
Zero
plugs. You understand that hurts us very much?
Well, I thought that they would like edit them out and
there's no editing
my calls anymore.
You just looted our pyramid.
You did. If our show is a pyramid, all the gold has been yanked.
And that'll make it worse? Your skin is white.
Well, I'll give you my word. If I ever call them again, I'll plug the hell
the word
them.
Of a looter?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's talk archaeology for a minute before the show ends here abruptly.
Right now, Jennifer Lockett's like, what?
She's an architect, though, I thought.
This could be the show that pisses everybody else off. Scott's there listening. We have another guy in here.
Tyler is a Tyler's a young boy prostitute in D.C. Okay. Hit us up with what's the greatest thing you've seen or found or been a part of?
Besides boobs in high school.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say anything like that ever because I always think I'm going to offend somebody if they're gay.
We did go to high
school
together.
Because I've done it many
times. I wouldn't offend anyone if they're gay. Weird. Just because you're gay, you kind of like... I don't want to get into that. That's a big, long conversation, but we'll talk about that later.
I know a lot of gay guys that love women's breasts.
Uh-huh. I wasn't talking about that though.
And you're one of them?
Fucking
okay, like, all right, banging sex is like a part of life. Like, it's like eating is a part of life. But if you like really liked pizza and you hated sandwiches, and there was a town that only had pizza joints,
it's Egypt.
Would you go like live there and make that your entire? I mean, I understand that banging and climaxing is a nice part of life,
but I'm so confused about this. Okay, there's a huge difference between. Being straight and being a homosexual and pizza and sandwiches, because if I'm hungry and I prefer pizzas, I'm not just going to go to the sandwich place if that's all there is. Like, I'm not going to go, my horniness is so overwhelming.
when I drive through like West Hollywood,
mm-hmm. it's just boner because you're
and I realize like everyone is like-minded there and they like their entire life, but it's all centered like at what is at the core is they all like the same kind of sexual organ. That's all at the very center. Yes,
that is a very specific area of town that is not like. It's not your typical gay guy. It is your flamboyant, over-the-top gay guy.
Well, I'm just talking about West Hollywood and how there's that one part where like all of the gay community kind of thrives together there. Talk about offensive. What if Don was gay? Now we're talking.
I'm not even looking. I'm going to tell you guys what gay guys are like.
What's odd?
We've done that before,
is
by the way.
Just we the have sexuality a part of life, though. But why is the sexuality part of life take like trump everything else where like you can make it your entire existence is about that, you know what I mean? God, I sound ignorant.
To an extent it is
that.
To an extent
that.
It is because that otherwise sex wouldn't sell so much, and apparently we think about it all day all night, and I used to think I was a dirty little scumbag.
I guess that's true,
for constantly thinking about
it's
sex.
Like the gay male part of town, it's not like lesbians take over like a section of San Francisco, do they?
There are lesbians in West Hollywood.
There's some, but it's not like they thrive. It's not like Trunks was created for them.
It's you walk
it's
by
because
those bars.
Dudes think about sex so much, and when you got two dudes in a relationship together, it's like twofold.
I lived there for 2.5 years, and I still, when I go walking in that neighborhood and I walk by the bars, I'm still like, what the fuck? Like, I look in a bar, and there's, honest to God, four dudes, not employees, dudes, jeans, no shirt, dancing on a table. Like, different, like, just
it
dancing.
It makes me so fucking
like,
angry.
You just take your shirt off and start dancing. I'm like, what's it, what? How can you do that?
It makes me so goddamn jealous.
Yeah, seriously.
It makes me furious. It's like, I would love... Actually,
I would
know
love,
what? I'd be dead. I'd
I
be
would
dead.
Love to have the confidence to take my shirt off in a bar and the wherewithal to work out.
I would love to be gay and just have that kind of utopia right down the street.
I would love to be gay, but
I
not...
I wouldn't be sitting
would
here
like
with you right now. I can tell you that.
I would like to be gay, but not that flamboyant gay guy. I'd like to be like the sort of in-the-closet gay
guy.
Yeah,
we'd be flamboyant for a few years, and then we grow up.
We'd be flamboyant when we were drinking.
Well, Don, to set everybody straight now.
Please be gay. Please be gay.
No, he's married.
You know what? I love this card. If we had a 30-minute conversation and totally disregarded you guys and found out you guys are gay. I'll tell you about gay guys.
We're arguing about it. You guys are just completely silent. Ollie's on the phone. Okay.
I would go. You know what the thing is? If I was gay, I think I'd want to be in a committed relationship.
No, you wouldn't. That's a lie.
Good call.
Listen, I guess what I'm trying to say, and I should probably talk with a gay person about this, or a straight person. I mean, anyone who would want to live where it's all like the same type of person, I understand that people let race define who they are, which I think is ridiculous, and like country define who they are, and sports teams define, and cities define who they are. But it's weird to let like your dick and your love of dick define who you are, because there's so many other things
I
in
disagree
life.
With that, because your sex, your love of dick or vagina is so much more powerful and so much more legitimate than your love of a sports
team.
Not
after the climax, it's over.
You're right, but same thing with the Super Bowl.
Do they want to move?
Once the Super Bowl's over.
Wait, after the climax, you're just like, fuck. I should probably make a life choice.
It is the most dramatic 180 in life, right?
It totally is.
Like, when I was in high school, I drove to Humboldt State, California in one 15-hour drive to have sex one time.
Uh-huh.
And the minute I had an orgasm, I was like, what am I doing here? Right. Oh, my God. I make $100 a week and I spend $150 on gas. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got to get back
it's
now.
It's more dramatic than coming down off coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which says a lot.
It is all your focus, all your energy. This is the greatest thing ever to, I got to get out of here and get some food. Or that was...
So that must happen in West Hollywood all the time, yeah, right? Yeah.
This is the best time I've ever had this bar. I'm going to get out of here. My dad sees me.
Because your entire life is like kind of centered around your love for that. Yeah. All right. I think we should put
I think the West Hollywood gay guys are more into being a West Hollywood gay guy than just living the life of a gay guy.
Yeah, we've talked about this. And it's like, because a lot of the gays that live there, too, because I lived right by there. I lived like right down the street from there. I've had a lot of friends who have lived there for periods of time. And
I lived there for 2.5 years.
Is this Anderson coming out?
I have a lot of gay friends. There's my wedding was chock full.
I lived there.
Okay, guys. Okay. Well, I guess you did, like right there.
I lived on Westbourne, 727 Westbourne.
But you're not one of the gay guys whose life
I was the only straight guy in my building.
See? I wanted to live in a place called Gaylord in Long Beach. It was like a giant manor, and it was called the Gaylord.
But it was probably just a regular building. That was a common name a long time ago.
But it kind of got taken over by the gays.
It should.
Belmont Shores is also very gay, Long Beach.
You want us to talk about gay? You're not going to like this.
But a lot of the gay guys, what I was going to say before, they go, they live there because they grow up in Nebraska. They get, you know, beaten up for being gay. Yeah. And then they, and to be able to go and live, we've talked about it on the show, but essentially being like being an adult going to live in Disneyland.
Well, first
and
they
you're
come
living
out,
in Disneyland. Now.
First they come out here and gay bash for a couple of years.
Just to get their gay stripes? What?
Yep. You are not going to appreciate that I'm doing this right now. In fact, you're going to be angry with me for doing this.
I don't know if I am.
Because I'm going to show a picture on the show.
I am going to get angry about that.
Speaking of gay, have you seen my new unicorn hat?
All right, you need to send that to Tyler so he can...
Well, you
or
you
send
can
that to
point
Scott.
It that way right
we
there.
We don't even have Scott's information.
Are these cameras aren't on, are they?
They're on in there.
Oh, look at Scott's in.
Oh, that's awesome.
Take that, Ty Ty. Scott, leave that up for a couple weeks. Why are you looking away, though, Scott? Why are you being so coy? What's going on? How about a full frontal shot there? I don't mean like naked. Speaking of which, Holly Hunter, if anyone's got a hankering for her boobs and vajay, lots of it in the sessions. Chock full of both nipples.
Yeah, I forgot what she looks like.
Naked. All right, we're going
to
put this show
wait, down. Before we go to before we put this to bed, I want to bring something up. If any of the listeners can help me out.
Holly, hold on.
I
higher than 9%
need to... I am going to do this, and I need some help and some guidance.
You need help.
Disneyland makes homemade candy canes once a year, and this is that time of the year. Speaking of gay. So, here's the thing. As I looked it up online, they only give out 40 wristbands a day for candy canes. You get to buy one candy cane at $16.95 each, and people line up 2 or 3 hours prior to the gates opening to get one of the wristbands. And when, once you're assigned a wristband, then there's three periods, three batches of candy canes made, and you're assigned which batch your candy cane... This is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life. And I was going to get up this morning at 6 o'clock and bolt to Disneyland. I happened to get up and check the website before I left because I'm starting to get a little bit more common sense. And I realized, oh, they're not making candy canes today. So I didn't do it. And I'm going to be too tired tomorrow. But if anyone has done it...
Is it
anyone,
true they take one day off, which is Thursday?
Yeah. Well, so this week they took Thursday off. But if anybody has any idea... If there's any kind of loophole for me to get in there and get a candy cane, and guess what? I'm not going to parade my candy cane around like Anderson thought I was going to do. I'm going to eat it.
Parade his candy cane around, which is would be like, hey, I got one and you didn't, which is what a lot of people are probably
going to
do.
That.
Apparently 200 people show up and wait for a wristband.
Something like that.
Riddick. I was talking to Mike last night because we're trying to coordinate today because the last thing I wanted to do was be stuck out in godforsaken Norwalk and not have any purpose out there, which would I would have been purposeless out there without you, Mike. So trying to make sure he's going to show up, and Mike starts dropping me his what his plan is to be today, which is
it's still
much
my plan.
What he
I'm
just
gonna
told
do it,
you.
I'm going to do it Monday.
And he was so goddamn serious, and he was online mapping out exactly what he needs to do, all the steps he needs to do to make sure that he gets this goddamn candy cane. And what did I say? I said, Mike, I want you to imagine the 20-year-old Mike is imagining the present-day Mike and seeing what you're doing with your life, candy cane hunting.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
What would the 20-year-old Mike be saying to the
I wish I had some
Mike.
Kind of a brain damage issue to explain this away.
What would he say, though? Like if you could look
I don't
at 20
know.
Years
I don't
in the
know,
future.
Man. I don't know.
This is what your main focus is going to be. Granted, I get fucking fixated on things. Just a couple weeks ago, my life is going fine. I have a fine couch at home. It works just fine. For whatever reason, I got obsessed with getting a new couch. Yeah. And that's all I could think
did
about.
I just did the same thing.
I went to Living Spaces
couch.
Five fucking times
Living
before
spaces.
I finally pulled the trigger. I went to all these different places, and it was just, all I could think about was a goddamn couch. Get a good one. Get a good one.
Yeah. It's the first thing that's not electronic that I spent $1,000 on. So
I would expect you to get an electronic one with like the lights
Enjoy
built in and all that stuff.
No, I just wanted to be comfortable.
But I get that. But the handmade candy cane, and you're so excited. And
I'm very excited about it. Here's the worst.
And it's
part.
Not like you're going to keep it. You're going to just go home and eat it. It's just going to taste like a candy.
He's going to eat
here's
it before
the worst
he gets
part
his car.
Is my obsessions come out of fucking nowhere. Because here's the fact: I learned about the candy canes 5 years ago. I was determined next year I'm getting a goddamn candy cane. Guess what? I totally forgot about it for 3 years. I was at the Improv in Brea, and they had a pile of candy canes in the office. I'm like, oh, I love candy canes. They're not supposed to be eating sugar. And I went, candy canes at Disneyland! And I freaked the fuck out. I had forgotten about it for years. And I decided I have to get a candy cane, and now I'm obsessed with it, and I'm probably going to forget, and Christmas will pass, and I won't have done it. And guess what? Big whoop.
You'll get one next year?
No, I hope. I don't want someone to go get me one. I want to go get it myself.
So where do you get these candy canes at in Disneyland?
It alternates between California Adventure and Disneyland. It's very, very difficult to make these homemade candy canes. It takes an hour to produce a 100-pound block of the candy. It takes I think, 4 hours for them to stretch it into little strips that can be shaped into candy canes. And the guy has to mold it up over these little wooden rafters, and it has to be in a room that's between 90 and 100 degrees. So they have to seal the room and heat it up, and he can't leave. And it's very, very tedious. They can only make three batches a day.
Was there
40
a Patrick
candy canes a batch.
Patrick Swayze movie about this?
Sure seems like it.
Yeah.
No, but I saw a video and stuff of how they're making the candy canes, and it looks very, very tedious and very time-consuming. No.
Mike, what kind of a comeback was that? It sure seems like it. What was that? That was one of the most awkward moments on the show ever, I think.
To be realistic about it.
Now, was there a Patrick Swayze movie about it?
I have a gun.
Sure seems like it. What was that? I didn't like it.
Because it did ring a bell in my head.
Roadhouse 2.
How big are these goddamn candy canes? They're giant, right?
They're not huge. They're not worth $18 or $16.50.
You said $16.95.
Something like that, yeah. I don't. I made that number up because it was like $13 last year, so I'm sure inflation.
What was shipping handling on that?
There's no shipping and handling. You have to pick them up yourself.
Wait, is the guy that's making them, at least, is he like dressed up like a guy from the 20s or something?
No, but he better be German.
What about an Oompa Loompa?
They don't make candy canes, thanks.
Sure seems like it.
sure seems like it. You're right. Here's the thing about the candy canes is I gave it some thought, and I'm like, is this going to be a candy cane that I enjoy more or less than regular candy canes? And I bet it's fucking identical, right?
I'm going to hazard to say that the word candy cane has been uttered more on this podcast than even a show dedicated to Christmas spirit.
You know what's funny about that is the first Corolla show that he did live at the Irvine Improv, one of the guests was Candy Cane, a musical artist. She's fantastic, from San Diego, very heavy-set lesbian
what's
woman.
Her name?
Candy Cane. She's great.
Please don't call this episode Candy Cane, Tyler.
She just she had breast cancer, and I think she's recovering from that. Actually, that's not my business, actually, to mention that.
It's absolutely not, but that's your style, so it's okay.
Does that make people feel better?
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, he's kind of sad because he lost his son in a boating accident last week.
It's your job to tell us what the episode will be named, and I'll let Tyler know. So that's his job, which is not your job. Tyler is replacing. I want everyone to let us know what you think about Tyler being replaced by Scott.
Scott talks less.
Way less. And what he says is very good.
He says it with pictures.
Oh, he says it in here, too. He's very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny when he was on the program.
It's a lot of pressure on these guys that you keep saying that.
I know.
It's all right. He was funny in a very different way, though. There's no way that these guys could emulate Scott. But they can bring the best out of you, Mike, which is...
I'm so sleepy.
Sure seems like it.
That's pretty good. Good one. Can you save that as a drop?
Thanks, everybody. I apologize for Tyler being a pab and not completing the show. It's just like we never... This is skipping, by the way. It's not me doing that.
No. Fucking Tyler.
It's pretty much Tyler's fault. Can you just finish it for us, Mike? Live?
No.
Oh, you're about to. You made the face and everything.
Not,
come on.
Not right now. I'm not going to.
Next week on the program. Oh, are we really teasing it next week?
We welcome our guests.
Next week.
From the Muppets, the rapist Elmo guy.
Mike Acarano, Brian, Miss Movies, and I are going to be doing second annual family Christmas film vault.
Wait, are we doing that on this show?
No, we're doing it on Film Vault.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you details in the parking lot. I don't know if Tyler's going to be... Honestly, Tyler is the only one who has not gotten back to me. Miss Movies got right back to me. You got back to me in a very funny fashion.
What are we doing?
Brian
gift
and Logan
wise.
Are into it.
Just get Scott by Scott to fill in for Tyler.
You're going to bring a candy cane.
And I don't know if I... You know what? I don't know if I want to give up my candy cane
maybe
for that.
Maybe you'd like to. Maybe you can get two.
You can only get one. One per wristband. Can you imagine if I go back 2 days in a row? That entire trip will cost me like $100 to get two fucking candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a gas.
Mm-hmm.
Not even counting my time.
Mm-hmm.
But don't act like you wouldn't do it.
Of course I would do it. I'd go back 5 days in a row. But that was gonna be funny.
All right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about getting mature and growing up.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how creepy it is. And I wanted to say that I think it's creepy when my heroes grow up or people that I admire and like. And I'm talking about a movie director named Todd Solondz. He has a new one out called Dark Horse, which I saw last week. And I put a quick rundown of it on AndersonCallon.com. You should check out that website. It's a good one. And he is obviously matured. He's the guy that made Happiness Storytelling, one of my all-time favorite storytelling. So great. And Welcome to the Dollhouse. And his most recent one is Dark Horse. He also made Life During Wartime. Dark Horse, which is just kind of sad. It's definitely his style, but it's just sad. It's not really over-the-top inappropriate or like so wrong that it's funny. It's just sad. And
maybe
it's about
he's got bills to pay.
A man-child And I'm not trying to be a dick at all, but I could just see like a storyline, which would actually be funnier than anything in the story, is if this guy was obsessed with getting a candy cane one day during the Christmas.
It's a good movie idea, right?
It would have been good.
You know what? Fuck, I'm not going to do a video about it. I'm going to turn that into a 90-minute feature.
90-minute feature. You could.
With no one else in it. It's just going to be me obsessing over my stupid candy cane. Even though I don't even... It was a great idea 5 years ago, and now it just reoccurred to me, so now I have to follow through. What if my entire life is spent trying to get a Disneyland candy cane?
That means it's very short.
And I finally get it. I'm like, I was on your website a couple of days ago, and it's a lot of reading. A lot of reading.
I'll
on
try
your
to, compared to
I'll
your
try
site.
To put more pictures. I'll try to pull more pictures.
I was like, what the fuck?
All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys for coming in, by the way.
Yeah, no, thank you for having us.
Shirt's coming soon.
What?
Shirt's coming soon.
Really?
Organization to Corona site coming soon.
Wait,
too.
Am I supposed to act like I know shirts are coming?
Scott, what should we name this? Shirt's coming soon. Really? Well, yeah. I mean, it's as really as always. Okay, I'm gonna cut it right where you said really. Good night, everybody. Thanks.